Hey, good morning, friends. It is time for another one of these shows we call Building Our Future. It is a Wednesday, March 11th. I've got some weather information to get to you, a little MDOT for you DeSoto County people we need to discuss, and then we'll jump right into it with our guest, and we'll get into a few things going on in this area with Oxford-Lafayette County Economic Development Foundation President and CEO John Maynard, who's in studio with me. I'll go ahead and say hello to you. How you doing, sir?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Weather forecast first, kids. Kind of looks like this. Some severe storms may be rolling into the area by middle of the day. Though the forecast and models are showing somewhere between 10 to 2, maybe the heaviest of those storms as we get around 70. Still a risk of some tonight with a chance of around 40 to 50% in a 60-degree low, and then 50% chance of rain on Thursday. 60 on Friday. It warms up a little bit as we get back in the 70s on Saturday. And as I mentioned, I've got some MDOT news to tell you about, and that's a couple of things going on in DeSoto County on I-55, as we've got between Church Road and Goodman Road, the right lane closed northbound. You know, that's obviously going to cause some problems with a lot of traffic going on there. And then we also have north of that something going on as well, it looks like, as there will be a couple of different things on both sides, actually. You've got the southbound and northbound going. So there's some road work and bridge repair and inspection going on there between Church and Goodman, high traffic area. So slow down, be careful, and move over, do all those things we've often talked about. We have other things we'll get into on the show today at the back end of the program, and we'll talk a little bit about the election results from last night. There were those in Mississippi, a couple of things we need to discuss. We'll talk about the United States hiring expectations last month and where that went. The labor market actually added 273,000 jobs. Dick's Sporting Goods, we have several of those in the area. They're in the news. We'll do our check of the stock market, some oil prices, and I'm going to tell you where you can get gas at $1.68 a gallon within this listening area today. And we have a little oil war, gas war, things going on. We'll keep up with that. All right, John, let's jump into it and talk about a couple of things. I'll remind the people, 426-1093. You can ask me any questions along the way later on. Facebook page is North Mississippi Spotlight with Gary Darby. Email, if you want, darby@tellussouth.com. Thank you for being a part of this program today and always. And we'll get in here with a lot of different things we want to discuss. And one of them is the Polycom numbers. And first, I'll get you to describe what a micropolitan is, how Oxford and Lafayette County fits into that. Polycom and the whole thing, but nonetheless, great numbers for you and this county.
Great numbers. Well, it's not great numbers for me. It's great numbers.
Well, we live here, so it's great numbers for me too.
Everybody, and it's not a sole effort of the Economic Development Foundation or the Chamber. It's really all the people in the community, the mayors, the supervisors, the aldermen, the planners, everybody who has an impact on the economy of this area. That we've been doing this for a very long time. That's how we've got to where we are now. And so things are actually going very well. But, you know, this Polycom company is run by a guy named Bill Fruth. And Bill has been looking at these numbers of what's good and what's bad, what makes an economy strong and what makes an economy weaken over time. He looks at 22 metrics. So this isn't a Facebook poll of who choose your favorite, you know, economy. This is really a guy who looks very carefully at all the micropolitan areas throughout the country, as well as the MSAs, the metropolitan areas, which such as Memphis and New Orleans and places like that. And what he does is he looks at some good metrics and some bad metrics, and then he ranks them, and then he adds up the rankings for all these different metrics. And this year, Oxford was ranked number 8 out of 542 micropolitan areas. Now, what the heck is a micropolitan area? The differentiation is a micropolitan area is a community with a city center, with like an Oxford or something like that, that has at least 10,000 people, but no more than 50,000 people in their area that they sort of capture. And so we fall into that with many other communities in Mississippi. Most communities in Mississippi fall into either the micropolitan or even smaller than that, where they don't get ranked themselves. We only have 4 metropolitan areas. That's the Gulf Coast, Hattiesburg, Jackson, and actually the Memphis metropolitan area. But anyway, at the end of the day, Oxford has been doing extremely well. There's no other southern community in the top 10. There's no other southern community in the top 25. The closest southern community to us, we're number 8 out of 542. The next one in line is number 29, and that's Key West, Florida. So we're way ahead of Key West, Florida, and that's a significant concept for us to be that economically strong that we're ahead of something that people globally will go and visit.
When those numbers came out, did it show one area? I mean, what were some of the areas that pushed Oxford into that top 10? When he was looking at different, you know, you said you looked at different numbers,
different metrics. Yeah, it's the biggest driver in what we do. So now here's the issue. That system that he uses to rank these communities is proprietary. That's how he makes his money. He does consulting. He does other things. So he doesn't want to release that information whole. But he does give you a kind of a window into how it looks. But I can tell you by looking at our numbers, by looking at what's happened in the past. You know, you go back 10 years, 5 years, and then most recent year over year, we have had steady job growth. Last year, according to the Mississippi Department of Employment Security, we created net new jobs. We had X number in 2018 and X number in 2019. We created 1,070 jobs here in Lafayette County. And most communities in Mississippi actually lost employment. That's net new jobs. So we've got all these new people that are working here. He looks at the population growth. He looks at the growth of the actual working force, that civilian labor force. And we have had significant growth in both population as well as civilian labor force. The interesting part of that is people say, oh, well, that's students. That's the students at the university coming in. You couple that with a 10% decline in enrollment at the university, and we're actually, we seem to be doing much, much better in the face of some adversity. So, yes, we need to focus on growing the population of the university because that does have some negative effects far and wide. But at the end of the day, we have done an awful lot of good things with what's been happening at the university. I still attribute an awful lot of the decline of the university enrollment as being the NCAA effect.
Well, yes.
It's that, you know, we can blame it on whatever we want. But that seems to be the most obvious, and of course, you know, I'll go back and find data to either support it or kill my theory altogether.
Well, we had an interesting conversation before we got on the show, and I think we'll bring it up maybe at a later date about things like that, about the student enrollment and how athletics is kind of driving that. And there's been interesting stories and things. You already have interesting numbers, but we want to put that together for a different day with the student decline, but yet the jobs that have increased. What do you think your office or what did this area do to overcome that student loss and then still get job growth and the economy still grow?
Keep in mind, this is not a day-to-day activity. This is a year-to-year, decade-to-decade activity. And what Oxford has done for the past 30 years, and I can demonstrate that with the numbers, and I can go back and talk to people who were there starting it. Oxford looked at who we are and what we are, and we said, you know what? Forget everybody else. Let's just create the kind of town that we want to live in. And we did that. And we've created a higher bar for our quality of place, our quality of life, the quality of how we want our environment to be, not the green environment, just, you know, how we like things around us. I travel an awful lot. I see an awful lot of communities, you know, great communities that do really wonderful things. And I see an awful lot of communities that just, well, for lack of a better word, don't give a damn.
Right.
Oxford gives a damn. Oxford cares about who we are and what we're doing here. We have put people in place. We've had mayors. We've had supervisors. We've had aldermen. We've had university chancellors. We've had university personnel, people far and wide who have really cared about this environment. And they've done a good job of making the things happen that attract human beings here. In 1992, our organization said, well, let's capitalize on this people-based economic development and let's start attracting retirees. So we've done everything we can to support the attraction of people who can come and live in our community and for lack of a better word, just grow old here.
Yeah.
But what we discovered, now we live in a day and age where whatever attracts these retirees also attracts these millennials. They want walkability. They want public transit. They want nice restaurants. They want to have a great experience while they're here. So we've been doing this people-based economic development to attract human beings here ahead of saying, let's go out and attract companies here and the people will show up, because that's not working anymore. And what you're finding is the idea that if we attract people here, then all of a sudden things get better. And the common factor of the top 10 in that Polycom list is all of these communities have done either a great job in natural resources. So there's an awful lot of them there that have found gas and oil. That's in the Midwest or the northern Midwest, or they've done a great job in creating a quality place. every one of them. And that's where the economies tend to shine. When people want to be there, when people want to show up, they bring their money, they bring their jobs, they bring their companies, they bring everything with them that keeps your economy growing strong.
And I think it's been great. We saw even recently with the large order for Winchester and things that are going on that, you know, the industry is doing well and keeping that growth going.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the funny part is, you know, we have a company here that came out of Michigan, SMW, when Caterpillar decided they need to streamline their operations, and they decided to move out of Oxford. This company saw the opportunity to not only take over their building, but also start making the parts that Caterpillar was making here and sell them back to Caterpillar. So that's a great deal. But they came down here with an expectation of, you know, we've never been in the South. We've only been in the North and Denver and the Detroit area. And they didn't know exactly what to expect. What they have discovered here, and they're very open about saying it, is they found a more dedicated, happier, better quality workforce for their plant than they've ever seen anywhere else. They're turning out new numbers that are doing fantastic. They've got an incredible owner, a guy named Bob Dunford, who's a good friend. And Bob is going out there and around the world selling his company, selling what they can do. And he's now in the process of moving more and more business to Oxford. He's more in a hiring phase, a slow hiring phase, because they've got to ramp up the business, but a hiring phase at SMW to bring more people in. They're also bringing in new equipment. They're doing everything they can because they've got new customers that are saying, wow, that's really a good product and a good price. And so they're working hard. But they found a great workforce here in Oxford, and they fully intend to expand it and grow it.
John is here with us, Oxford LaFayette County Economic Development Foundation, Building Our Future. You mentioned quality of life, and Baptist Hospital has been a big part of this show and doing things too. And when you look at that new building and everything that has been done, and unfortunately, the Darby family has had to use way too much of that facility here lately. But I can tell you, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us, they have taken great care. And the fact that this area has something like that is a great draw.
It's unbelievable. You know, one of the things that I do in my day-to-day work is I work with a university too.
Sure you do.
But I work with a hospital to help physician recruitment. So when they bring a physician here, they ask me to tour the physician around, show them what we have as far as quality of place. And I'm disinterested, so I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'm just trying to get them to show up. And what you find are these young physicians that are coming to Oxford are absolutely amazed. They have a preconceived notion about what Mississippi is. I had one recently, and I hope I don't offend anybody in Corinth, but he had spent a month in Corinth or so, and he is originally from Ecuador. And so now he's in school in San Antonio. And he was coming back on his very first job interview anywhere, came to Oxford, and his expectation was, well, everything in Mississippi's got to be like Corinth.
Right.
And he said he was absolutely blown away. He couldn't believe, A, the quality of the community, B, that they built this beautiful 400-something million-dollar hospital that is beyond anything he's ever thought could be happening in a small town.
Sure.
But the quality of what Baptist Hospital brings to this community and the perceptions that people have of this community are beyond measure.
We had last month from Stern Cardiovascular and there, a young, you know, the doctor, he grew up in Tupelo. He then, with his studies after leaving med school here, I believe it was Harvard and Wake Forest, and it was just a whole list of unbelievable places, yet he came back.
That's right.
Here, and ended up here. A guy from Mississippi that moved away that most times wouldn't. Of course, he is a heart doctor that got into, well, Mississippi needs heart doctors, and wanted to help in that regard. Dr. Kevin Hall was the one that I'm speaking of, and it's just those stories that I like to hear.
Yeah,
guys that moved away and came back, and the draw that an Oxford LaFayette County has for that metric, and we definitely have.
Well, and there's another interesting component of that. I had lunch with the chancellor on Monday at lunch. His interest in attracting not only or keeping or attracting jobs and growing the jobs that the students at Ole Miss are training to do. Keeping those students in Mississippi, but also attracting alumni to come back.
Sure.
They're working on things with a biomedical device, with natural products, and a few others that are incredible for reaching out to our alumni base and saying, look, we can create the companies. We've got technologies that are vetted. We've got things that we can build and keep them here in Mississippi that our students can go directly into. But they need a CEO, or they need some experience training. They need something that, will make sure that this company stays where it is. And they're reaching into their deep alumni base to say, hey, you would be a great candidate to run this company, and you can still run the company that you've got now. And those are things that are going to be significant game changers for Oxford itself. But Dr. Boyce is just so incredibly motivated to get Mississippi into the next phase of, let's identify Mississippi as a technology state. Let's identify the things that we can do at Ole Miss and drive the conversation to get that sort of change, that complete paradigm shift, I hate that word, but paradigm shift for Mississippi, so that people think of us as the technology place and the ones that are doing some significant things. And an area that's most important in that, I think you've already talked to J.R. Love about, yes, that, is that virtual reality.
Right.
There's a huge spectrum of training, of skills that go into the virtual reality world, and there's an unlimited opportunity there to be able to put the virtual reality into play for education, science, medicine, anything. Tourism would be another great one, but there's so many things that we can do with virtual reality, and that's a growing business that we need to be fostering here in Mississippi.